our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied from God the Father, and from Christ Jesus the Lord, with the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, we wish to continue this afternoon's worship service with the singing of Psalter 350, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy I heard my friends exclaim, come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet. 1, 2, and 3 of 350. God's holy word, This afternoon we wish to read together from the prophecies of Zechariah, the fourth chapter. But before that, let us make confession with the Church of all ages, with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We say once again, we read from the prophecies of Zechariah, the fourth chapter. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, which are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So far the scripture reading, let us try to ask the Lord for his help and his blessing this afternoon. Gracious and eternal Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, it is for the second time in this thy day, and within the walls of this place, that thou hast granted that we together with our children could come into the walls of thy house and round about thy word. Ah, Lord, then thou hast been mindful of us as a people. Thou hast granted again that thy word could come into our ears. And now, O Lord, as we stand at the outset of this afternoon's worship service, then we beseech thee that thou thyself would come to dwell among us. Lord, then, that it may become true, or perhaps it is true within the heart of those who may be gathered as we have sung it together. With joy I heard my friends exclaim, come, let us in God's temple meet. Lord, there that we may be instructed according to thy holy will, and that upon the way to a never-ending eternity. Lord, then we beseech thee that thou would remember in the needs and in the cares of this flock. Then for more than 3 years already they may come together within this house. And, Lord, then it is with anticipation that they may meet in the sanctuary that thou hast provided for them. When we also may behold it, that it draws nigh unto completion, then there is a looking forward to it as well. And, Lord, thou who hast brought it hitherto, may it please thee to grant what is needed to the completion of the same. We have read it also out of thy word together what is so necessary. Lord, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by thy Spirit alone. Then it matters not the simplicity of the building of past or the newness of the building to come. Because if thy Spirit is lacking, O Lord, then what shall become of us? What shall become of our children? Thy word shall endure, and that from generation to generation. But, Lord, may it please thee then to grant that the light from that word, that light upon that candlestick, may also be kept among us, the light of thy truth. Then it is not enough also to hear it from the pulpit. It is not enough to sing it from the psalms, but that needs to illuminate our dark heart. We need that Spirit personally and individually in each one of us. And, Lord, hast thou not said in thy word that it will please thee to do so until the end of time? And now thou mayest continue until this hour. Lord, wilt thou grant it? Wilt thou give it unto us and unto our children so undeservedly? May there be those true seekers, those beggars that may be found, those needy ones, that have to repair so time and again unto thee, that know not how it has to go in their life here below. Lord, then remember this flock to that end. They are the older ones. They are the younger ones that may be gathered together. They are the middle aged. They are fathers and mothers. They are grandparents. Lord, they are people. They are a people with a soul for eternity. Then visit them with thy grace and bestow that mercy upon them. Lord, care for us then in this afternoon. Grant what is needed, the unction of thy Spirit when we are called upon to bring thy word amongst them. Grant an open mouth and an eye unto Thee, but give open ears. Give a heart that may understand. Lord, give a longing, a hungering, a thirsting after Thee, the living God. Remember them for their temporal needs. Lord, Thou not only speakest by Thy word, but Thou hast spoken by way of nature also in this week. And then there are those among us also in this afternoon that have beheld Thy might in nature and in the wind. And then that one of old has said, Thou art the Lord that callest the whirlwind out of the south, and Lord, then they may also see the consequences thereof. For then who can stand before Thy might and before Thy power? Then we become nothing before Thee. And Lord, then wilt Thou remember in these ways? Wilt Thou grant a humble bowing of the heart, but and then to see as well that temporal things, they are replaceable, but Lord, that can come not without hardships, that is for sure, but Thou hast spared and Thou hast kept life through it all, and that also could have been so different. Could it be the means then? Where there may be one that would have to bow before Thee, Lord, that Thou would become too powerful. And then it is not by might and it is not by power, but it is by Thy Spirit. It is by that wind that Thou didst speak unto Nicodemus of old, that it bloweth and it listeth where we know it not. Lord, then Thou art that one that can call it up into the heart as well. For, O Lord, then we must be born again. Wilt Thou grant it then for the first time in the hearts of those that travel for their own account? We lay before Thee this afternoon the older ones, those whose life also, as for the most part, lies behind them, and give them to make haste for their life's sake, O Lord. Wilt Thou spare yet in mercy? Wilt Thou show that grace unto them? Remember widows, remember widowers. Remember those who experience the empty places in the family circle. Lord, where there is loneliness, may it please Thee to fill that with Thine own self and Thy own presence. Lord, care for land and people. May we lay before Thee this afternoon this country, this province, and also this little town. Remember the Prime Minister and those who stand round about him, the members of the Cabinet. Lord, wilt Thou care for them? Thou knowest it is a nation that only departs further and further from Thy precepts. Lord, could it please Thee still to grant that there may be a looking unto Thee, that Thou would not let us go entirely unto ourselves. Lord, that would be the greatest judgment against a people, that Thou would depart from us. And, Lord, it seems Thou hast let the nations of the earth go. And indeed Thou dost magnify Thy grace shed only on account of those who must be gathered in. And yet, Lord, wilt Thou not magnify Thyself as that King of kings and that Lord of lords, that the nations of the earth might tremble before Thee? Lord, remember the persecuted church, the church that is in prison for the sake of that only name given under heaven. Remember them and give them to be thankful until the end. Care for the work of mission and mission workers, our own mission team and field in Bolivia. Lord, remember him who is given to labor there. He may have a little time back in his own place here upon this country. Lord, wilt Thou give what is needed, a little rest also. Give help when he may return with the language and in the work. And may the fruit also be seen among that people. Remember wife and children. Lord, care for and that work wherever it may go forth in truth over the length and breadth of the earth. Wilt thou grant unto this people as well, and those who come to lead the services in this place, give what is needed from Sunday to Sunday, Lord, that new ones may be born again in Zion. Remember sick ones, remember the afflicted, remember those who cannot be gathered with us in this afternoon. Perhaps they listen along. Wilt thou grant that blessing as only thou canst do? Remember our denomination. Lord, grant what is needed unto all thy servants, wherever they may be today, in their own congregation or elsewhere. Give strength, grant courage. Give that new ones may also be called by thee in due time for our Lord. Then there are the vacant congregations still. Wilt thou care for the curatorium, the theological school that may begin again at the end of the month if all is well? Lord, remember what is needed for the students, the one who has to move once again with his wife, the other who may begin his second year of studies. Care for the candidate, when in this month also, if thou wilt bring him to that time, and thou wilt join him to that congregation unto which thou hast called and unto which thou hast sent him. Lord, grant a place. Remember them in the move with his children and with his wife. Lord, care for us now in this hour. May it be a good hour together. Grant instruction as only thou canst do. And, Lord, wilt thou hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue while your offerings are being received with the singing of Psalter 276. All four stanzas, Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heavens, eternal King. 1 through 4 of 276. May the Lord bless you and your gifts this afternoon. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go, and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. So the words, congregation, of the prophet Isaiah, who was given to prophesy unto the children of Judah, and that before they ever came into captivity, he was called upon to speak unto a people, a rebellious house, of all that would come upon them, that they would be brought into Assyria, that they would be brought down into Babylon, but that would also come a day that they would be released from that captivity, and they would flow once again unto Jerusalem. He was given to prophesy that that temple would be destroyed, but he was also given to speak that that temple would one day be rebuilt again. And our congregation, then we know that the prophet, he also had to speak of that one who would come, that Savior of the Jews who would come to Jerusalem, who would also enter into that temple. He was given to prophesy that in those last days that that gospel would be preached throughout the earth, and that that temple was not the only Zion that would be built, but it was that spiritual Zion. It was that church of all ages that would be built, that would be established. And our congregation, then, it was also seen, because that promised Messiah, then he did come, and that church did flourish in the parts of the world where that light of that gospel had never been before. And then the Gentiles were added unto that church. And we can see there on that day of Pentecost, when 3,000 were converted, who did flow up unto Jerusalem, who did come to that mountain of the Lord's house. And indeed, there was a church established here, and there was a church established there. And the apostles could go forth bringing the blessed tidings of that gospel, and giving by that power of that Spirit that the churches may be planted. And so Isaiah could prophesy of these things unto the Jews. But how was it for that prophet himself? Our congregation, he was given to speak what the Lord put in his mouth. And indeed, that was the truth. But how was it in his day? There he had to come, and that is in verse 6 of Isaiah 2. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Then it all became a riddle to that prophet. Then he could not behold it in the times in which he lived. It all seemed vain to Isaiah. But what did that prophet Isaiah have to learn? He had to learn that that work was never from the side of man, that the building of that church and that building of that Zion could never come out of anything of man, no. For then he had to be instructed what we find there, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? a congregation, then that prophet had to speak, and that prophet had to learn that it is the Lord's work, that is the Spirit's work, that is no might of man, no, that can build, and that is no power of the devil that can keep that church from being gathered. The Lord by His Spirit alone will build that Zion, and that is what we wish to consider with the help of the Lord this afternoon out of the chapter which we have read together from the prophecies of Zechariah, the 4th chapter, the verses 6 and 7. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. So far our text. The Holy Spirit's work in building God's church with three thoughts this afternoon with the help of the Lord. In the first place, that is a divine work. In the second place, that is a sure work. And in the third place, that is a complete work. The Holy Spirit's work in the building of the Lord's church, a divine work, a sure work, and a complete work. Congregation, our text is found in the midst of the prophecies of the prophet Zechariah. That was a prophet that lived at the return of the exiles from Babylon. He is the son of Iddo, and he was a contemporary of Haggai. He began his ministry some 2 months after the prophet Haggai began to preach unto those exiles who had returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. And the prophet Zechariah, you would say that he would come and he was prophesying in a flourishing time, a time where there was much encouragement. There was 50,000 that had returned already from Babylon. They had come to Jerusalem. That was already 15 years prior to Zechariah's prophecy that we find here. But alas, congregation, in that 15 years, then those returned exiles, they had grown slothful. There the foundation of the temple had been laid, and now the enemy had come up. They had frustrated that work, and that work came to a grinding halt, and there it lay. And now the prophet Zechariah, he was sent, as was the prophet Haggai, to speak unto that people, that temple had to be built, and how that had to be built. They had to be warned as well, congregation, against a lascivious lifestyle as their fathers did, and why they had been brought into captivity in the first place. Your fathers, where are they? The prophet had to speak in that first chapter. Where are they? He had to point back to Babylon. He had to say that example of your fathers, they had been taken into captivity, and there their graves are in a foreign land. And that was because the wrath of the Lord was poured out upon them. And the prophets, do they live forever? He had to say, those who were called forth, who rose up early and were sent unto you, now shall that word continue? He had to warn them. And he had to speak of the consequences of that sin. He could point to that temple that had been brought to ruins on account of the sins of those fathers. That light that was upon the hill, that glory of Solomon's temple, and now that had been demolished, and it seemed that light had been extinguished, but what else? That priestly office, that kingly office, that had also come to nothing, congregation, that had ceased. And yet the Lord in His goodness He gave that those exiles could return. He had raised up Cyrus in that foreign nation. He had given the decree that that temple of the Lord must be rebuilt there in Jerusalem. There Zerubbabel came to Jerusalem as that governor, and Joshua came there as that high priest. There that foundation was laid there in those first months with great joy. And now the prophet has to say what has become of it. It is covered over. But what is more, congregation, there was that true remnant in Jerusalem. Among that 50,000, there was a remnant that sighed and that cried, and that for the honor of the Lord. That foundation lay there that was a token that the Lord had begun, but now what had become of it all? And that became a grief in their heart, congregation. And they sighed unto the Lord, and among them was that Zerubbabel, and among them was that Joshua the high priest, so cast down and so discouraged. And so, congregation, you may see the context of that fourth vision that the prophet Zechariah did receive. Those visions that we may find in those first chapters, then they are all centered around the building of God's church. And that prophecy of Zechariah that did not only speak of that time currently, but that spoke of that time as it were that prophet could look through a window. He could speak of that time that Isaiah the prophet did speak of, and what we began with in our foreword, in the last days then they shall flow unto that mountain of the house of the Lord. There he saw that horse, those horsemen among the myrtle trees. There it was peaceful as it were and quiet upon the earth. But Judah and Jerusalem, they still felt the Lord's displeasure. And the Lord showed there in that first vision that that would soon reverse. That church would not always remain a smoldering church, no. But that there would be a time where that Jerusalem would be rebuilt and that temple would once again stand upon the foundation. He received that second vision of those four carpenters, those four powers that would be destroyed by those four workers, that church would be extended over the length and breadth of the earth in due time. He saw that vision of that man standing there with a measuring line, a surveyor, we would say, that Jerusalem would have boundaries. But yeah, that church of all ages, that would be a complete, that would be a sure church with a sure wall about it. And he saw Joshua the high priest stand there with filthy garments and receiving that priestly garment once again, indicating that future glory, that purification, that sanctification of that church. and those first visions, they made that prophet so weary. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waked out of his sleep. He was exhausted by what he saw. That was impressed. He received impressions, that is for sure. He saw what the Lord would do, but he was just like that prophet Isaiah of old. He could not perceive it anymore. It all seemed that it was against him. And so it is, congregation. In that remnant also today, is there a remnant among us who, when they behold the desolations of the church, and now I do not mean in the first place of your church building that is going again and that is nearing completion, and it is a beautiful building. But our congregation of Nobleford, were these lessons learned in the past year? Was there a remnant that did sigh and that did cry? Was there a remnant that it became their own fault, that the foundation had been laid but the roof was not on? That it all seemed to come to a grinding halt, and perhaps you heard the enemy's mark. And perhaps the voices inside also mocked, where is now your God? Where is now what seemed to be so joyful when the first shovel full of sod was turned over? But our congregation, the Lord has made it different. The Lord has granted in His goodness that it may continue. And now is there a remnant among us who does sigh and cry for the spiritual condition of the church? I come one step closer. Is there a remnant in our midst who doth sigh and cry? There was a time where they could believe a foundation had been laid in their heart. They thought, perhaps the Lord has begun in my heart, and now what is it? It is all covered over with dirt. I cannot perceive any more whether that is the Lord's work indeed or not, and then the enemy's mark. And then I cannot see how it goes. Ah, is there a weeping remnant this afternoon who has to say, Ah, Lord, what shall become of that church over the length and breadth of the earth? And that can make them weary. That can make them so tired. And not less so when we sit in the office bearer's bench. Oh, then if it is right, there should be a remnant that doth sigh and that doth cry over the condition of the church today. Then they need not look so far. Then they only need to look inside. And then they become weary. But what a wonder when the Lord may come, and when the Lord may awaken out of that sleep, when the Lord may show new things out of His Word, as He did unto the prophet Zechariah. Because then He said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. He saw those two olive trees that were by it, the one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And yet that prophet had to ask that question, What are these, my Lord? Knowest thou not? Then he had to admit that he was so blind for it. He was so ignorant for what the Lord was showing. Then he needed instruction. Is there such a people here this afternoon? And he beheld that golden candlestick. And congregation, it is remarkable that angel does not immediately begin to speak about that candlestick. No. he begins to speak about a great mountain. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. Then he points in the first place to that source of that trouble. And he says what seems as a mountain so massive and so immovable before that Zerubbabel that shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings. Oh, what seems so impossible that that temple would not come to completion. Then indeed it shall come in due time, then that headstone will be set. And then that is not to be misunderstood as that cornerstone, not that foundation stone, but that very capstone. We would say the finishing touches upon that temple that shall come to be in due time. And our congregation, Zechariah was from that priestly line. And when that angel could speak about that candlestick, then perhaps he thought about that candlestick that was in that temple of old, that golden candlestick that light had to be on perpetually. It is doubtful that he had ever seen that candlestick, but no doubt he had read about it in the law. No doubt he had it pictured in his mind how that had to look. And no doubt he knew the tasks of the priest that had to keep that light burning continuously. But now this was a different candlestick. That candlestick of old that had no bowl, that had no pipes, that had no trees. And furthermore, at that point it had no longer a light upon it. That light had been extinguished. And now that angel may speak about that candlestick. And he may say that candlestick, that work that Zerubbabel had begun, that foundation that had been laid, then by that spirit that would be carried on, that would not be by the might of Zerubbabel, no. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That light again would shine upon that top of that mountain of Jerusalem. That Israel and Judah once again would be a light among those nations. But again, congregation, we may not omit what it meant for the future of the church. We may not look past what this prophecy also means for us today. God's word, children, that is never outdated, no. And that vision that the prophet saw, and the proclamation of that vision, that also has instruction for us today. Because I think of John on the Isle of Patmos, then he did also see a golden candlestick. And then he saw one like the Son of Man who walked among that candlestick. Then we see that golden candlestick that represents the churches of all ages. That is a golden candlestick. That is something that is made out of precious metal. That is that gold that had to come into the fire. That is that gold that had to come into the hands of the artificer to form and to make that golden candlestick. That is that candlestick that was refined, congregation. That is that candlestick, that church that has to carry that light among the nations of the world. And now in our day, where is that seen? And then generally we can speak about the church where the truth may be, and you may say we have that in our place. And that is a great blessing. And never despise that, young people. No. But where is that true gold? Where is that true candlestick? Where is the light upon that candlestick? Where is that light of that Spirit shining still and illuminating? Oh, has it grown dim with that fine gold? Has that light, as it were, seemed to go out? Where is the oil of that Spirit that may keep that light from going out? Is it all in the past? Has that been extinguished? Does that true high priest not walk in the midst of that candlestick anymore? Has it become so dark in the church that the Lord does not work anymore? It is true, young and old, there is great darkness. And even among the people of the Lord, they are so silent. And it seems a bushel has been put over that light. A living so close to the world, then we cannot decipher that light anymore that is within her. Oh, then Zion in her low estate, that may also be spoken of today. Is the Lord not still working, you say? Oh, congregation, there will always be a church. That is that divine work of the Lord, and that is not because of anything in that church, no. That is because the Lord is pleased to gather a people unto Himself, to His honor and to His glory. And then He will frustrate all those human efforts that seeks to put that, to keep that church from coming to fruition. He will frustrate that work of the devil who seeks to extinguish that light that is upon that candlestick. But in so doing, the Lord instructs that true remnant. He grants instruction unto those discouraged ones. He says, it is not by might. It is not by power. It is not by ability. It is not by anything of myself, but it is by that indispensable work of the Spirit to uphold and to maintain and to bring to completion that kingdom of my dear Son. I shall set that in the hearts of that people. I shall once again cause that to flourish in the hearts of that discouraged remnant. Did he not say by the mouth of the prophet, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee? No, the Lord will not cast off his people, the prophet, the apostle Paul does say. Neither will he forsake his inheritance. It is not by might, it is not by power, he says. No. That is a sure work, congregation. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. That work had ceased. And it seemed like a lost cause to Joshua and to Zerubbabel. Not only had they to contend with that might and that power of that enemy, but they had to experience their own lack, their own inexperience, their own powerlessness. What mountains seemed before them. But God would arise for those feeble Jews. That mountain shall become a plain. The people of the Lord are so prone to look at that foundation that seems so covered up. They cannot perceive it anymore in their life. Makes them so weary. Makes them so tired. makes them so sleepy than what mountains are before them. Then they have a fresh view of their sin, congregation. They have a fresh view of that justice, that unbending justice of the Father. Then it becomes their own fault. Oh, then they must ask, what is this now, O Lord? This is the word of the Lord. That angel had to say, it is not by might, it is not by power. It is not by your own work. Oh, when the Lord begins that work, then we are so prone to want to help the Lord. And how do we do that? Well, then we clean this up in our life. And we read this book and we read that book. And we seek to make ourselves acceptable before the Lord. And that work seems to come to an end. The Lord has to bring it to nothing. And the Lord shows that He cannot use anything that comes in the hands of that people. And then the enemy may laugh. And that voice, those voices inside, they may mock. They may say, yeah, now what is that? Is that the beginning? Alexander Comrie, he writes in a certain place, the difficulty of being saved lies in the ease of being saved. But what a difficulty that people experience is, congregation. They do not give that in so easily, no. Those tools need to be knocked out of their hands. That which they try to build upon that foundation, that needs to be knocked down again. And not only does the tools need to be knocked out of their hands, then those hands have to be cut off. They cannot do anything anymore. But how shall that light be returned? How shall that oil flow again? How shall that mountain of sin and guilt be removed? How can I be righteous before the Lord? How can that golden oil flow into my heart? Knowest thou not? No, my Lord. Our congregation, you know what they have to learn. That those offices have ceased. That those offices have to be restored again to the honor and the glory of the Lord. They who were created as that priest and that king and that prophet. That has to come from the other side again, from the side of the Lord. And that is pictured there. Then I answered and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? Knowest thou not? That same question comes to him. And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Our congregation, then those two olive trees that stood there next to that golden candlestick of that vision of that prophet with that bowl upon the top and those pipes that came down to those lights upon that candlestick. Then that oil had to come forth out of those branches. Shall that oil ever come through those pipes and shall it ever come to those lamps that they could be lit once again? That shall not fail. That is a sure work of the Lord. and that shall be a completed work. Let us sing first. Psalter 71, 1 through 4, Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? While God my strength, my life sustains, secure from fear, my soul remains. 1 through 4 of 71. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Zechariah was cast down. Zerubbabel was cast down. And Joshua the high priest was cast down, congregation. But now when the word of the Lord may come, when he may say the hands of Zerubbabel have laid that foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it, then that prophet could be encouraged once again. Then that caused him to ask that question concerning those trees that were on the either side of that candlestick. And congregation, when the Lord may lay that foundation in the heart of his people, when the Lord may convert a boy, a girl, a man, or a woman, then they cannot perceive who the layer of that foundation is. No. No, they do not know at that time that that is the hand of that greater Zerubbabel, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit. That Spirit that bloweth where it listeth, not knowing, hearing the sound thereof. Oh, that is not that they do not experience it in their soul. Oh, no. Then they know they are not what they once were, but they also know that they are not what they must become. And that foundation can lay so dormant, that can become such a source of grief unto them. Oh, then they may hear in God's house that has to come to the knowledge of that second person, and they have to testify they know him not. A congregation, that work has to go further. And in the furthering of that work, they become so discouraged with themselves and so attacked by that enemy. But the Lord is watching over that temple that he is rearing in their heart and in their soul, because he himself shall be pleased to dwell within them. And then that must become a complete work, but never at the expense of the honor and the glory of that second person. And it pleases the Lord to make room for that second person when it becomes so impossible from their side to be saved, when it seems impossible that they can ever have that mountain of sin and guilt removed. Then how cast down? Then it seems that it was all in vain. It shall come to nothing. Until the Lord comes again, then he does not immediately show them Christ. No. Then he comes with a question. Then he begins to speak about that mountain of sin and about that mountain of guilt. He begins to tell them that is not by power and that is not by might, and that at first that makes that people more feeble, that makes that people more cast down. They say, what was it then? What was the laying of that foundation in my heart? Because when the Lord came for the first time, then that came so powerfully, then I could not remain the same anymore. And perhaps they look back upon that day, then it was so sweet to be in God's house. When they could read God's Word and it seemed they could eat there at that table of the Lord, where He led them forth into those green pastures of His Word and He gave instruction unto them, then that came with power. That laying of that foundation. And now what has become of it? And how long has it laid covered over with dirt? Is there a people here who recognize something of that in their life? And they cannot see it anymore. And now the Lord says unto such, Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Before that greater Zerubbabel who has laid that foundation of that house, hast thou despised that day of small things? Oh, he says that Zerubbabel who has laid that foundation, his hand shall also finish it. And congregation, as it caused Zechariah to ask that question, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick? Then it causes that people to beseech the Lord. How shall that become? And when the Lord is pleased to show them, knowest thou not what these be? Oh, then they have to be honest. Then they have to say, No, Lord, I do not know it. He says, these are those two anointed ones. And in the context of that chapter, yeah, then it speaks of Joshua. Then it speaks of Zerubbabel, yeah. But for the upbuilding of that church and for the furthering of that kingdom in the heart of God's people, that speaks of that anointed one, that Son of God. That speaks of that King of Kings and that Lord of Lords. That speaks of that greater High Priest from whence that oil of that Spirit must come. Oh, he is as that green olive tree. He is as that one from whom that oil must flow into the bowl. It must flow through those golden pipes. His servants may pour it out. They are that instrument. That oil may come to that lamp again, and that may be ignited again, that would not go out any more, congregation. And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Then it pleases the Lord to show that people something of those offices of Christ. Oh, then they cannot do without Him anymore. Then they long, then they yearn for Him, for that which He has merited. Then they need that applied unto their own soul. They need that oil to carry what He has merited, and they need that in that to be that light upon their pathway. Our congregation, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the house. His hands also shall finish it. You may build a beautiful building. We were privileged to take a walk through it yesterday. And that was also not without trials, congregation. Is there a people who have learned a lesson for their soul in it all? Oh, if the Lord may bring that capstone upon your building, those finishing touches, and in due time you may dedicate that building, and you may receive that the offices may be filled, and you may become your own congregation. That is such a blessing. That is such an indication that the Lord is not finished gathering His church. He has said, I will be pleased to gather my church by those means, where the people of the Lord may gather, where the offices may be filled, and where that oil may flow through that golden pipe, those golden pipes, and that light may come upon the candlestick. But on Nobleford, how is that personally? That new beautiful church building cannot save you. And the person sitting next to you in the new pew cannot save you. Your grandfather, your mother, God-fearing as they may be, cannot save you. Young people, you need that greater Zerubbabel. You need Him to lay that foundation in your heart and in your soul. You need that true conversion. I hope you may say when you walk into those doors for the first time, the Lord sparing you, O Lord, may this be the place where Thou wilt work. May this be the place where Thou, as that great Zerubbabel, will lay that foundation in my heart. Then be sure the enemies will attack. Then be sure there will be much to frustrate that work, then you come and do the strife. But all then that is the Lord's way to make a remnant to sigh and to cry for Him, to become weary of all that is of self, and to learn that their hands can do nothing, that it is all of Him more and more. And the Lord speaks unto such a remnant, that Zerubbabel that has laid that foundation, he shall surely bring that capstone upon it. Oh, is there a remnant here this afternoon who needs that capstone put upon it? Who needs that furthering work of grace in their heart? They become weary. And they have no tools to work with anymore. And their hands, they hang down. Their knees are feeble. Oh, He says unto such, He who has laid that foundation, He shall, and that is so sure, He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. All congregation, there it lies. There it lies, it is all of grace from beginning to end, from the laying of that foundation till the last nail is placed in it. And you know when that shall come. That shall come when you breathe out your last. It is grace from beginning to end. And it comes from that triune God, that work of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Only by the merits of that only begotten Son of the Father. Applied by the work of that Holy Spirit, oh, young and old, do not rest until you know of that work in your heart and in your life. Do not rest with a foundation that may perhaps is covered with dust and with dirt. No. But to say, Ah, Lord, wilt Thou uncover it now? Wilt Thou work further in my life if Thou hast begun? And, Ah, Lord, if it is not Thy beginning, then wilt Thou take it all away and wilt Thou lay that foundation Thyself? Ah, Lord, make it true in my heart. Oh, that becomes such a strife with that people too. Is that foundation right? Is it true? Is it plumb? You know what they say. These are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth with that plummet line. They say, Ah, Lord, with those eyes wilt Thou look upon me. Lord, wilt Thou put that plummet line next to that building? Does it stand straight? Does it stand true? Ah, Lord, that it may be a building that is reared up to Thy name's honor and to Thy name's glory. and to the salvation of my soul. All congregation that has to become so person. A temple for the Lord to dwell in has to be built by His own hands. From beginning to end. Will you not beg the Lord for it, young people? Until you may receive it, the Lord will always have a church. And He is continuing to build His Zion in these last days. It shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the tops of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. You may build a church in the last days, congregation. We may firmly believe that. That building will soon lie in rubbles. Nothing of the earth shall remain anymore. The most beautiful church buildings, the Lord will be done with them. J.C. Philpott writes, he says, then millions of Bibles will be burned in that day. What is necessary? That word, that spirit, that building is in my soul. A building that shall endure to eternity. And then that blessed remnant shall flow into that greater Jerusalem. That church which is above, that Zion, which is being gathered one by one, also in these days. And there they shall sing. There they shall sing, grace, grace unto it. O young and old, will you be in that church building, made without hands, eternal in the heavens, surrounding that great Zerubbabel? Amen. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, Thou who art the builder and the maintainer of Thy church, wilt Thou look upon us? Wilt Thou look upon our children with that grace in the beginning? May it please Thee to further that work in the hearts of Thy children. Reveal that only Savior unto that people, our Lord, that they may see it is nothing of them, but it all lies in Him, that great High Priest, that King of Kings who is pleased to instruct by that prophetical office. Lord, then look upon this group. Or grant them a place in time in that new building. And Lord, wilt Thou make all things well according to the offices. Forgive what was sinful and grant an acknowledging heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. For closing, let us sing 402, 1, 4, and 6. O sing ye hallelujah, 'tis good our God to praise. 'Tis pleasant and becoming to Him our songs to raise. He builds the walls of Zion, He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and comforts the broken-hearted ones. 1, 4, and 6 of 402. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.